Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. The handbell choir will be playing this morning, Peace Purify My Heart. Pastor Alan Miller has chosen for his sermon topic, Your God Shall Be My God, based on Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. Mr. Ron Baker is at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all here in the Lord's house together. For God has indeed brought us here. God has saved us into a community. He has brought us together as one people to have fellowship with one another and ultimately with Him. It is here in the midst of His church where two or three are gathered in His name where God promises to be. And so I'm so thankful that you are here also, able to receive God's many precious gifts that He has for us, giving us life and salvation and the forgiveness of sins. Today's order of service will be following Divine Service Setting 1, and may we sing together our first hymn, number 686. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. us pray. Almighty God, you show mercy to your people and all their troubles. Grant us always to recognize your goodness, give thanks for your compassion, and praise your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Ruth, chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and gave them food. So she set out from the place where she was with the two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to remain from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess the Christian faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time I invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, everybody. So good to be with you and so happy you could join me up here this morning. So I want to know, what would you say if I gave you all cupcakes? What would you say? Nothing? You wouldn't say anything? What if I gave you a larger piece of cake?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. What else would you say? Yum. Yeah, that's a great one. What if I gave you an entire cake? Two entire cakes. What would you say? Yum, yum? Yeah, I think we would say a lot of yum things. We would say, most importantly, though, I think we would say thank you. Whenever somebody gives us a gift, it is often it's proper, it's right to say thank you in return. And you know, do you know God gives good gifts too? We saw a really good gift in our gospel reading, the third reading we heard this morning. We had 10 men, and they all suffered from the same disease. Do you remember what that disease is called, that sickness is called? It's called leprosy. And if you had leprosy, you weren't really allowed to have contact with anybody else because they didn't want to get sick. And that was a really contagious disease, and ultimately, people had to live for many, many years all by themselves because they had leprosy. And in the gospel reading, what we see is God gives them the gift of healing. God restores them. He gives them health again. But what happened? They all went off, but only one of them returned. And what did that one who returned say? I think you know. What did he say? He kind of said it earlier. He says, thank you. So only one out of the 10 people say thank you. It's remarkable that although God gave such wonderful gifts, so often we as people, we don't thank God as we should. We don't thank him as often for everything that he has done for us. What has God done for us that we should thank him for? How about for all the wonderful gifts he has given us? What has God given you? He gave you parents and grandparents, yes? That's great. He gave us food. He gave us clothing. He gives us a nice house and friends and toys. God has given us all of these wonderful things, and because of that, we should always be quick to thank God for everything he has done for us. Most importantly, though, we do thank God that he has given us his own son, Jesus. He has given Jesus to die for us, to forgive us our sins, and by doing so, he has also given us heaven and eternal life, the greatest gift of all, where we will live with Jesus forever and ever. Well, can we say a word of prayer and thank God for all of his wonderful gifts to us? Dear God, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for your many gifts. We thank you for our friends, our family, and parents. And we just thank you for all your wonderful gifts. We ask that you would keep us safe and until we meet again. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me up here. You can grab a piece of candy and go back to your seat. In the congregation, we are going to sing our next hymn, which is number 685. beautiful confession of faith that we heard in our Old Testament reading this morning. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. It is a wonderful confession, but perhaps what's most remarkable is when you take a look at who first spoke these mighty words. For such a strong and bold confession came from probably the most insignificant and marginalized individual. If you were to try to come up with the lowliest, the most downcast, and most humbled person in a society, you couldn't have invented a person as marginalized as Ruth. She was both young and poor. Additionally, she was a woman, a widow, and jobless. And on top of that, even, she was then an alien about to go live in a foreign land. Ruth was truly the lowliest of the lowly, a widowed foreigner with no money nor job. If anyone is marginalized, Ruth was more so. And yet, even still, beloved, I'm not sure that you could ever find a faith with more boldness. From the lips of a lowly widow, you find a faith that is so full of confidence, of determination and zeal. Though marginalized, yet did she speak what's perhaps the most brave and outspoken confession of faith in her day. May it stand then as an example for us this morning. For I pray, beloved, that such a strong and confident faith would be found among us also. Because as we see from Ruth's example, it doesn't matter one's age, but rather it's as if Paul says, let no one look down upon you because of your youth. Nor does it matter one's sex, for in Christ Jesus there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek. It doesn't matter if you are physically small or weak, for when I am weak, Paul says, then am I strong. Christ's power is made perfect in my weakness. There is then no condition of weakness, no condition of obscurity or insignificance, no condition of poverty or sorrow which should ever prevent somebody from ever making such a bold stand for faith. There is no condition which should ever tempt a Christian to remain silent. For such is the nature of faith, that even the lowliest of the lowly may stand in strong confidence when their confession is in the mighty God. And so rather, may it be that both the high and low alike may say it in unity, that I am a believer in Jesus Christ. And may all bow the knee before the Creator God and say, I am not ashamed that He is my God. You can proclaim it from the rooftops, thus fulfilling Christ's teaching. And you can go into the highways and byways, fulfilling His command. For such is to be the Christian's bold confidence. The Christian cannot be ashamed of the gospel, knowing that it is the power of God to salvation for man. The Christian is rather to blush at the idea of ever being afraid. And they are rather to be ashamed at the thought of ever feeling embarrassed. So may it be with all of us, dear friends, to stand with Ruth and to say it boldly, that God should be my God, His people shall be my people, and there shall I live and breathe and die. Confident and firm do I stay true to this confession, knowing that the Lord Jesus is all and he is in all. This morning I want to look together at the different aspects of Ruth's confession. For in it, she actually makes a string of resolutions, just one after the other. She is determined that God's people shall be her people, that God shall be her God, and that there will she live and die and be buried. Passing over Ruth's determination to follow Naomi wherever she goes, the first thing that Ruth says at the end of verse 16 is, "Your people shall be my people." I just love that wide sweeping resolve of Ruth. For she, in a sense, takes the good, the bad, and the ugly. Though ultimately she wants Naomi's God, who is himself perfect, she understands that he is the God of Israel, that he is the God of the church. And in order to have a God, one needs to be a member of his people. What we see in the scriptures is that God always saves people in a community. The Lord doesn't save people as to be islands unto themselves, but rather he saves them as a holy nation and as a royal priesthood. To have a God is to be counted among God's people, taking the good, the bad, and the ugly, so to speak. And that is exactly what Ruth confesses, that your people shall be my people. Before she has even met the people, Ruth is resolved that Naomi's people will be hers. The way I read that, if I don't read too much into it, is that it doesn't matter who the people are. It doesn't matter what they are like. It doesn't matter what little quirks or idiosyncrasies they have. I want to be counted among those people, she says, the Lord's people. As we can see, Ruth is casting in her lots with God's church. It is the church which is the body of Christ, just as it is the church which is described as the bride of Christ. We don't ever want to think that one can be a Christian and yet live as if they're islands. We are one church, he says, one body and one bride. And may we then, dear friends, continue to meet together as one body, not forsaking the gathering of God's people where his promises are given in the midst of us. There's a lot of people in the world today who essentially seem to be going church shopping, for they are seeking for a church in which all the members are perfect. They look for that church with the perfect families and with the perfect kids. They want that perfect pastor and preacher who meets all of their high expectations. The perfect Sunday school teachers, perfect elders, leaders, and the like. They want, in summary, a church where everyone is perfectly and totally Christian in all things. Well, that is, of course, ideal, beloved. And that we ought to always strive to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And that we ought to never make excuses for our failures. The reality still remains that every church is made up of sinners. Every name you find on the rosters is a name of a sinner. Many people go church hopping They hop from one church to the next after any time there is a fight or disagreement between them. People go looking for that perfect church to join. And yet I like how it's been said once before that the moment you think that you have found a perfect church and decide to join it, by joining it yourself, you have just made it imperfect. Let's say that somehow you did find that perfect church. The moment you did join it, dear friends, you would have made it imperfect yourself, for you are imperfect. And that's why I love Ruth's determination. It doesn't matter what the people are like. She is going to be counted among the Lord's people. For if God is not ashamed to call them his, and if the church is such that Christ is able to love and cherish them, then I must only hope to be counted among the chosen myself. If Jesus is the Lord of the church, then frankly it doesn't matter who else is counted among them. I myself need to be counted among them also. For to be of God's flock, you must then belong to God's fold. The church may be full of sinners, beloved, but I can assure you that there is one who is in our midst who more than makes up for all of our imperfections. Whatever faults you might find in us or in any church which belongs to the Lord, God is still in the midst of them by faith and grace. And he is so lovely as to make up for all of our faults and failures. He is in our midst, forgiving sins, strengthening faith, and pouring out his graces forevermore, so that his people may always find joy, peace, and love. As long as Jesus' name is found upon the roster list, I don't care who else's name is there on. I must have my name as well. For to have my name on the same list of Jesus, whether that's be near the top or the bottom, that will be my eternal joy and honor. And once more, do people often look for a church in which they can gain the most out of it? They want a church, a people of God, from whom they can receive the most. And yet again, beloved, we just see again what is Ruth's zeal. For it doesn't matter whether or not she will gain anything by it. She didn't know these people in the least. And yet she says, they will be my people. And without hesitancy, then we too should not be ashamed to call God's people our own. Join the flock of God, whether you think you can gain anything from it or not. For perhaps it is true that you won't be the gainer of it. But on the other hand, perhaps you can bring a great deal to it. For that would be the fulfillment of the Spirit of Christ anyways, as he says that it is more blessed to give than to receive. After Ruth confesses her commitment to God's chosen people, she then confesses further her commitment to then God himself, saying, "Your God shall be my God." And this, beloved, is at the core of Ruth's confession. For although Naomi had nothing, no husband, no son, no land, no gold, nothing costly of any kind, in fact, though she had even no pleasure, forsaking even her own name, wishing to go by the name Bitter instead, yet did she have God. And that was Ruth's driving factor in following Naomi. We read the story, and we can tell that Ruth wasn't enticed by any sort of worldly promises. She didn't follow Naomi nor Naomi's God because of any promise of luxury or ease. As we said, Naomi had virtually nothing to promise. In fact, Naomi even encouraged Ruth to turn back. "There is nothing here, Ruth," she says. "There is nothing where I am going. And nothing could be offered except for Israel's God." Now, life doesn't promise to become easier when somebody becomes a Christian. Happiness and good fortune doesn't follow conversion. And yet there is still much to gain by following Ruth's confession that God will be your God. Though nothing else be promised, nothing else should ever be needed. And that is true, beloved, for all who call God theirs. For God to be your God is to have omnipotence working for you. Though you aren't promised everything you dreamed, he does say, "Delight yourselves in the Lord, and he will deliver you the desires of your heart." Though you aren't promised worldly goods, you are promised everything that you need. For as you have God as your own, such do you have a good and loving Father, a Father who knows your needs, a Father who delights to give you them, and who has the power to do so. May we then confess it with Ruth, beloved, that God should be our God, trusting that he is enough, and that in him there is all that we need for life, for salvation, and for eternal joys. In him, it is said that there is life in abundance, there are joys unspeakable, and a salvation that should never fail us. A salvation, rather, that shall prove as eternal as God is himself, yesterday, today, and forever the same. When God is your God, beloved, then you have a God who, more importantly, has you. When you have come to such a bold confession, know that it is the Holy Spirit who first called and grabbed hold of you. When in boldness you have confessed God as your own, know that it was first God who confessed his love and commitment to you since before the foundation of the world. When you confess God as your own, God has already grabbed hold of you by the Spirit, enlightened you with his gifts, and called you to be his for eternity. He is yours, but more importantly, you are his, and nothing can ever snatch you out of his hands. Briefly, and just to bring this point and sermon to a close, I want to mention that last resolution of Ruth, saying, "Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried." Beloved, if we are to die, may we do so at the foot of the cross. May nothing move us from the certainty that we have in Jesus, who shed his blood for both you and me. When it comes time to die, may we be found trusting in nowhere else than here, in Jesus' blood, which washes away our sins in a consuming flood of grace. There, I am more than satisfied to hang all of my trust and my all. Though I may look at my sin and wonder how I may ever be saved, I am always more than satisfied, and my spirits are calmed when I look then at Jesus dying for me. when I see my God, my Savior, who is suffering in my place. For then I am must led to wonder, as did Luther, how could I ever be lost? The blood of Jesus is infinite in value and of infinite worth. It is priceless and precious, and it has been shed for you, shed for the forgiveness of sins. And so may we hold fast and boldly to these confessions, dear friends, trusting that in Christ even death may be conquered in us. And for such a reason, may God's people be our people. May God be our God. And there shall we live and die and be buried. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name this morning, remembering your goodness and grace to your people. We thank you that you have saved us, that you have called us, and that you have brought us to enjoy your blessings in community. We pray that you would continue to work in our midst and work in our individual lives. Bring us together, though, in unity, in peace, and in mutual love, joy, and affection. As one member is hurting, Lord, lead us to help and support them. As one member falls, lead us to restore them in grace and mercy. We ask that you would be in the midst of your church so that we may live live in your joy and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. And merciful Father, as you daily forgive us our sins, lead us also to forgive those who have sinned against us. As we all stumble and fall, lead us in a spirit of grace towards everyone, but especially to our brothers and sisters in the faith. We ask that you would be in our midst, always working reconciliation. Build up your church, that we may grow in our witness to your mighty power. And use us to be as if a city on a hill for all to see, that we may be a light in the darkness, and that many would come to saving faith in you through us. And further, we ask that you would use us mightily for your kingdom's sake. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of power and might, give us the strength to stand boldly and confidently in our faith. As you have not given us a spirit of timidity, strengthen us to stand firm in our faith and conviction. By your Spirit, lead us to confess that we belong to you and your people, that we are yours and that you are ours, and that this is a confession that we can proclaim from the rooftops, knowing that it is the power of salvation. Grant us then your boldness that we may trust and not falter. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In God of grace, we give you thanks for the blessings which you have poured out upon your people. We thank you especially this morning as Tim and Charlotte celebrate their 40th anniversary today. We thank you for the many years of marriage which you have blessed them with. And we ask that you would continue to bring them together in mutual love and service toward one another. We ask that you would be working also in the lives of all who are married in your church. Lead all husbands and wives to give themselves to one another. And may we be moved to live our marriages as pictures and metaphors of your church, living for one another in all things. And likewise, Father, do we pray for all who are single in our midst as well. Give them your love, which surpasses all others, and surround them with faithful friends and family, that they may enjoy the blessed fellowship with your people on earth. You are the comfort of all of your people, and so we ask that all may find you as enough and as their joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, Father, and great physician, we pray for all who are hurting in mind and body. We ask for healing upon those struggling through the woes of life. Grant your peace, which surpasses understanding. And grant your healing, so that all your faithful people may continue to fight the good fight of faith. And may they all serve both you and neighbor all the days of their life. Gracious God, you are Lord, and you know all things. Though we know not what to ask for, we pray that you would deal with us according to your wise, sovereign, and good plan. According to your will, may all things be done, and may you lead us to trust in you all the days of our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn, number 662.